You're listening to God, Sex, and Current Events with Dustin Daniels. This is a listener-supported radio program. Dustin is committed to protecting you, your family, and the church from the evils of pornography. Unfortunately, the economy has affected giving for the last 6 months to the radio show. We need to raise $2,500 per month to keep the show on the air. The great news is that's only 84 people donating $1 per day, totaling $30 per month. It's what we call a purity partner. Would you prayerfully consider being one of those 84 people and donating right now? Would you join us today to keep the Dustin Daniels radio show on the air? There are three ways to give. First, text Dustin Daniels as one word to the number 77977. Second, visit the website at DustinDanielsRadio.com and click on the red donate button at the top right. And third, mail your donation to P.O. Box 73275, Phoenix, Arizona, 85050. Thank you to all our purity partners who have kept us on the air for the last 4 years. Now, back to the program. Here's Dustin. Overlooking downtown Phoenix. From the Faith Talk Studios in the Camelback Towers, it's the Dustin Daniels Show, where God, sex, and current events are explored from a Christian perspective. Here's your host, Dustin Daniels.
She starred in 30 major films. She was awarded a Golden Globe for Female World Film Favorite. She started her own production company. And she was voted second greatest movie star of all time by Premiere Magazine. She was chosen by Empire Magazine as one of the 100 sexiest stars in film history. She was beautiful, talented, successful, and seemed to have everything a woman could ever dream of, except for one thing. And that was happiness. The public loved what she gave them, but she knew they didn't love her as a person. Her makeup-covered face, her dyed blonde hair, and her sparkling clothes only hid what she was feeling on the inside. Ultimately, she was depressed, unloved, and she was very alone. Sadly, the beauty and the fame wasn't enough to satisfy her. Who am I talking about? Norma Jean. Norma Jean, better known as Marilyn Monroe. And unfortunately, Marilyn, after having all the fame a person could ever fathom, she committed suicide at 36 years of age. And Marilyn's entire life was driven by what she thought would bring her fulfillment as a woman. She's the epitome of a girl defined by her culture. How could a woman who literally had everything still feel unloved and unfulfilled? Well, my guests today are here to help answer that question. Two sisters, Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird, have written a new book. It's titled Girl Defined: God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. And from the modeling world themselves to their current ministry, Kristen and Bethany, through personal experiences and concentrated study, have journeyed toward understanding God's defined femininity. Kristen and Bethany, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys for the time. I'm excited to chat with you. You guys have this amazing new book. It's called Girl Defined: God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. And our listeners can visit you at girldefined.com. And I love the start of how you started your book with this story of Marilyn Monroe. So my first question is, for someone who literally had everything, how could someone feel so unfulfilled, so much so that she takes her life at 36 years old?
That is such a great question. And we really bring the story of Marilyn Monroe, which, like you said, her name was Norma Jean Baker. We bring her story out because I think her story is so telling of what happens to so many women and what so many of us as women chase after. We share her story in our chapter called Blonde Bombshells Don't Have What It Takes. And I think as modern, you know, that's kind of like, whoa, they don't. Well, if I were a blonde bombshell, I think I would have what it takes. But what we share is that as women, we look at women who seem to have it all. We look at the life of Marilyn Monroe. Even now in our modern society, you know, she's been gone for a while, but she is still so famous. You know, you walk into the mall, you walk into stores, you see posters of Marilyn all over the place and accessories that you can buy that are branded with Marilyn on them. And so we see this as women and we think, wow, this was a woman who had it all. And so we as women look at what she had and we unknowingly chase after the same thing, thinking that it's going to lead to happiness. But when we dive into Marilyn's story and we see the behind the scenes, we see the truth of how her life ended and what she struggled with, we really do see, we see a woman, like you said, who had it all but was still so unfulfilled. And that is because her life shows us the truth that anything outside of God's word, outside of a relationship with Jesus, cannot satisfy. No matter how much we chase after, whether we reach everything that Marilyn had, her life proves that it still isn't enough apart from Christ.
Yeah, and we continue to see this. It's interesting. I was kind of smiling as I was reading your book, and I looked at my wife, Amy, and I said, you're going to love this book, because when we first met, she had, and I'm not kidding, like this 6-foot, it was like a cutout poster of Marilyn Monroe in her garage. And I'm going,
oh, wow.
It was amazing. And she loved Marilyn for everything that you guys are talking about. So if this idea of being famous, if it leads to happiness, that's what we think. Well, we may or may not think that, but why didn't it work for Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, and I think that's a really relevant question to all of us, especially in the American culture, because even I'm 27 and I, you know, grew up in America, I live here, and the idea of being famous is still something that's like an idol. Like, that's something that is almost like the ultimate. If only we could be famous, like if we were, you know, famous, like the Kardashian sisters or some famous rapper, someone like that, then, oh my goodness, we would have it all. Like, there's no way we would not be satisfied. But the reason that we pulled out the story of Marilyn Monroe is because she was someone in the past. She's someone who had everything. She had all the fame, like you said. She had all the fame anyone could ever imagine. She's gone, and we see the results of her life, and she still has so much fame. It's like we're almost like starstruck with this idea that being put on a pedestal really will bring us true happiness. But like Kristen said, because God designed us to uphold him as Christians, as our creator, he's the one that should get all the glory. He's the one that we should be worshiping him. And when we do worship him, when we put him in his proper place, ultimately we find that satisfaction. But because of our culture, and like Marilyn Monroe, when we uphold ourselves or we uphold someone else, it can't satisfy us, because that's not the way we were created to find satisfaction. It's not the way we operate. And for some reason, even as Christians, that doesn't connect with us. And we think, no, I need to be focused on me. I need to become famous. Then I'll find satisfaction. But we need to look at the results. We need to look at the examples like Marilyn Monroe and realize that no matter how famous we get, that can never ultimately satisfy. Jesus Christ truly is the only thing that can satisfy us. And Marilyn Monroe's life is a perfect example of just how true that is.
For our younger listeners who may not be familiar with Marilyn Monroe, who would you say right now is the modern day version of Marilyn?
Oh, Kardashian sisters, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga. I mean, there's so many. Today we have options for a lot more stars, right? The market is wide open. And so there are quite a few. Taylor Swift is another one that girls are just almost short of worshiping. And in some cases, probably they have become their idols.
Let's talk about Marilyn's beauty. Let's talk about the Kardashians' beauty. And we think that this is going to bring contentment, right? When I'm standing at the grocery store and I've got all these magazines staring at me, and the epitome of what a woman is supposed to look like and do. If that were true, why do you think Marilyn was depressed?
Such a great question. You know, we've had a little bit of experience in the modeling industry ourselves, and we share this in our book. And as we entered into that scene, we saw the reality behind the scenes. You have all of these pretty girls, you know, these gorgeous girls, girls that the culture would say are the most beautiful women. But behind the scenes, every single time, it never failed. They were insecure, discontent, and often depressed. And we experienced some of that ourselves, just that discontentment. Because you think, if I am beautiful, if only I had beauty, then I would be happy. And when you attain that beauty in the modeling industry and you're still not happy because it's not satisfying that deep longing of your soul, you are honestly left confused because you thought it was going to satisfy. So it sends you on a downward spiral to just becoming even more depressed. And I think that's exactly what happened with Marilyn.
Yeah, the contentment was, it seems, what I'm hearing from you is that it was all about self instead of serving others, right? And,
exactly.
And when you're so consumed with what we say here is the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, right? It doesn't serve a greater purpose. Is that what you guys have found through that journey of your own modeling careers?
Oh, absolutely. Because in the modeling industry, it's all about you. It's about you getting to the top, you being good enough, you presenting a pretty enough face so that people will hire you for their job. And so when you don't get the job, you view yourself as a failure and like you're not good enough. So it really is all about you and you making it to the top. There's no serving others. There's no pouring out. There's no greater purpose than it being all about you. And we all know that a self-focused life is not one that can satisfy because we were not created to find our satisfaction within ourselves.
Let's talk about money. You know, Marilyn had lots of money. She like you guys said, she had everything. If wealth brought her freedom, it seems to me that freedom wasn't enough. She ultimately killed herself at 36 years old. What happened there?
Yeah, and you know, a few years ago when I read about this story and heard it, you know, I was a little bit younger, and I'm like, okay, 36, that's kind of, you know, getting up there. But now I'm 27, and I'm like, 36 is really young, you know? Like, that is not old. That's really, I'm practically there now, you know? That's really young for someone who had everything and had so much wealth, could buy whatever she wanted. You would think almost, you know, that she could buy happiness, that she could buy satisfaction, but she couldn't. And even today, I found myself, you know, buying into this mindset that, oh, if I just had a nicer car, if I just had nicer stuff, you know, that wouldn't that really satisfy? And I think, of course, temporarily, these things can satisfy. Temporarily, wealth can bring us, you know, some happiness, but it can't bring that long-term satisfaction. And so Marilyn, wealth was just another thing of hers that she attained just with her beauty, with her fame. She would just had boatloads of money. And because she was, you know, looking to that, to beauty, to all of these things to give her satisfaction, it wasn't, like we've said already, the thing that can ultimately satisfy her. And even nowadays, we think that if only we had a little bit more money, if only we just had that better job, that we could buy nicer stuff, then ultimately it was satisfying. For guys and girls, what we have to remember is, again, that is not what was created to bring us long-term satisfaction. Of course, it's okay to have that. Of course, it's okay to have lots of money. But if we're looking to our wealth as the thing that will bring us long-term contentment, long-term satisfaction, ultimately, we're going to realize, just like Marilyn, that it won't satisfy. And we're going to go searching to something else to try to fill that void.
My guests today are Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird, authors of a new book. It's titled Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. And when we return, we're going to discuss the three lies, or as Kristen and Bethany like to say, the three pillars of counterfeit femininity. You're listening to The Dustin Daniels Show.
You're listening to God, Sex, and Current Events with Dustin Daniels. This is a listener-supported radio program. Dustin is committed to protecting you, your family, and the church from the evils of pornography. Rick writes, "It was a crisis in my marriage that led me to the Dustin Daniels radio show. 8 years of lies and deception about my pornography use finally came to light and forced a new direction. God has used Pastor Dustin and this radio show to transform who I am. For the first time in my life, I have been able to recognize the lie that a life of porn has to be the status quo. My relationship with my wife is for the first time based off truth rather than lies. We both now have the courage and freedom to be real with one another and experience life as partners rather than opponents. I believe God led me to the Purity Ministry of Seven Places and the Dustin Daniels radio show to save my marriage and keep my sons from going down the same path of destruction." Wow, that's what the Dustin Daniels radio show is all about: training men, protecting women, teaching children. Unfortunately, the economy has affected giving for the last 6 months. We would love to share more stories like Rick's, so we need your help to raise $2,500 per month to keep the show on the air. The great news is that's only 84 people donating $1 per day. That's $30 per month. It's what we call a purity partner. Would you prayerfully consider being one of those 84 people and donating $30 per month right now? Would you join us today so that we can continue to minister you and families like Rick's? There are three ways to give. First, text Dustin Daniels as one word to the number 77977. Second, visit the website at DustinDanielsRadio.com and click on the red donate button at the top right. And third, mail your donation to P.O. Box 73725, Phoenix, Arizona, 85050. Thank you to all of our Purity partners who have kept us on the air for the last 4 years. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the Dustin Daniels Show, where we discuss God, sex, and current events. This radio program is an outreach ministry of Seven Places, a Christ-centered purity ministry. And thank you to all of our purity partners who keep us on the air through your sacrificial giving. And if this radio ministry has helped you, would you please help us? $1 a day, only $30 per month, would help us greatly if you have been listening to the show on the air or the podcast version. May I ask that you join us this year in donating to the radio ministry? You can do that by texting my name, Dustin Daniels, to 77977, or you can visit the website at DustinDanielsRadio.com and click on the donate button. Well, my guests today are Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird, authors of the new book titled Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. You can learn more about Kristen and Bethany at girldefined.com. Well, guys, in 1966, the National Organization for Women was founded, and the feminist movement really began to pick up speed throughout the late 60s and 1970s, and we continue to live in a culture that is so confused about marriage and gender roles. I would love your thoughts on how do you think feminism now relates to biblical femininity?
That's such a great question, because, yeah, feminism is really just, in a lot of ways, for modern women, kind of the religion of the day without even realizing it. We as women have bought into the thinking of feminism and have fully embraced it, and it has become kind of our way of life. And for many Christians, it has become the ideology from which we base our life off of. And the way that feminism relates to femininity is that basically feminism is just our culture's way of defining womanhood. So we have God's definition for womanhood, how he defines it in Scripture, throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. And then we see feminism coming in and saying, you know what? There has been some pain, there has been some hurt to women, and there are legitimate things in feminism that we would agree with. But as a whole, feminism has tried to redefine, they actually have redefined God's definition for womanhood and instead placed their own definition up on a pedestal and said, this is what we as women need to chase after. And if we embrace feminism, then we will find fulfillment and satisfaction as women.
Yeah, you've got a whole chapter on in your book called Counterfeit Femininity. Let's talk about that. You talk about three pillars: liberation, independence, and sexual freedom. So let's start with liberation. How is liberation counterfeit femininity?
Yeah, so we do. We have a chapter in our book called Counterfeit Femininity. And the reason that we wrote that is, just like Kristen said, because there is this kind of new definition for womanhood. And we broke it down into those three parts. And the first one is liberation. And this is what we kind of, like, the crux of feminism, what we really believe is influencing most women today. And liberation really is just the underlying idea that we need to throw off the old-fashioned idea that men and women have differing roles and unique purposes, and we need to kind of embrace the idea that in order to be equal, we need to be different. We need to be the same. I'm sorry. So in order to be equal, we need to have the same roles, the same jobs, the same everything. There can be no differences, you know? And really, in God's word, we see that he created a man and a woman, and we were equally valuable, but purposely different. And today in our modern culture, we're trying to liberate ourselves from God's definition for manhood and womanhood. We're trying to, when we hear the word liberation, what are we liberating ourselves from? Well, it's from God's idea. And I know for me, as a woman living in these days, I've really, I've so many times bought into that idea that in order to be equal, I need to be the same. That being a distinct female and embracing biblical femininity is almost like a lesser thing. When in reality, when we look back to Genesis, when we look to God's word, we see that it is so beautiful and that equality really can be embraced by embracing our unique purposes as men and women.
That comes through so clear in your book, and that's one thing I really enjoyed about it, is that you both have embraced what a woman is, a biblical woman, and you're not apologizing for that in a society that wants to be genderless, you know? So I want to applaud you for that. The second pillar is of this counterfeit femininity that you talk about is independence. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in our modern culture, this is so pushed on women, all women, and it's actually highly praised. It's something that from a young age, you know, I'll even see this in commercials, little girls being pushed to be independent and embrace this idea of independence. And at first thought, a lot of us will question, well, what's wrong with that? Shouldn't we be independent as people? And we break it down and explain that there is a healthy level of independence. Of course, you know, we as women need to be able to go to the grocery store and shop for ourselves. We need to be able to do daily tasks that are independent. But what we're talking about in this chapter, one of the counterfeit, the pillars of independence, is a much bigger and broader thing. And that is total independence from basically all people, all authority, and ultimately independence from God. In our modern culture, independence, the independent woman is considered highly successful, powerful, and strong, and we as women are encouraged to shove everyone aside and pursue our wants first. It's basically, I've got this, I don't need you, I don't need men, I don't need anyone, I can handle my life on my own. I ultimately don't even really need God telling me what to do. And that is the idea of independence that is praised and pushed on us as women.
Inside the church, Kristen and Bethany, are you seeing this liberation and independence from God as well?
Sadly, we are. It seems like these ideas, they're so subtle and they're presented in such a positive light that we do see a lot of Christian women embracing the three pillars of counterfeit femininity. And as a result, it's leaving them even more devastated because they're on one hand striving to be Christians and they read their Bible, but then at the same time, they're embracing these pillars and it's just leaving women devastated.
The third pillar of counterfeit femininity in your book is sexual freedom. Say more on that.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest ones that I think we see openly and something, you know, even we share a story in our book about Kristen and I and how when we were younger girls, we saw the celebrities, we saw the magazines, and we thought, oh, the women who are sexy, the ones who have that allure, they're the ones that are getting the attention. They're the ones that are famous. We want to be like them because if we can have that kind of attention, you know, then we will be, we'll have what it takes. So we actually climbed on our roof and had our younger sister come up there and take pictures of us. We were doing all these modeling poses and trying to just look super hot. And then we posted it to whatever social media was back then. And we just waited for the likes and comments to come in thinking, oh, this is what will satisfy us. And so even from a young age, we started buying into this idea that we as women, that our worth and our identity really is based on how sexy, on how much attention we can get on our bodies and our allure. And so we, you know, this is something that's just obvious. We see this on the magazines. We see this on social media that we are pushed to embrace our freedom and our sexuality and to just show all, to show it off, show what we've got. And that, you know, the sexier our body is, the more value that we have. And so we just really point out that this is counterfeit femininity. This is not true. God did not design us to find our identity in how hot our body is. And so we just want women to know you are worth so much more than the curves on your body or what people think, you know, how hot you are. You are a woman who is given her worth because of, you know, God and the value that he places on you. And ultimately, no one can take that away from you.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kristen and Bethany, in the last few minutes here, encourage the women listening. What's the first step for a woman who has bought into these lies that you've been talking about liberation and independence and sexual freedom? How do they get started to do something different? Because at the end of the day, they know something's wrong, but what do they do with that?
You know, the thing that helped us the most as younger women in our teens entering into that college age was, you know, saying we don't have all the answers, we need some help. Opening the Word of God is the first place, but it can be hard for women. And it was hard for us to know what passages do I go to? Where do I start? And so the thing that was so helpful for us was finding a few solid Christian books from authors that were biblically based, that were writing on the topic of biblical womanhood, opening those books and using those as a guide to take us through God's word and show us what his design is and how to practically live it out. So we would just encourage all women and even dads listening who have daughters to get them a resource. And that's actually why we wrote Girl Defined. That's one resource they could get that really breaks biblical womanhood down. But something like that, just to jumpstart you, to help you navigate scripture and learn more about God's design.
My guests today, Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird, their book, Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. Kristen and Bethany, thank you so much for joining us today. You can visit them at girldefined.com. And if you're listening to this radio program, this is the first show that you've heard, you want to learn more, you can also visit our website at dustindanielsradio.com. There are, I believe, close to 150 radio shows specifically talking about this idea of God's design. What is your identity? For a woman, what's it look like to be a woman of God? If you're a man, what's it look like to be a masculine man, a man after God's own heart? And you can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, jump on the website there and rate the show. That would help us tremendously. And you can listen online as well. Also, oneplace.com, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Podomatic. And if you have a question for me, I would love to answer that on the air. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power, and the power that is in the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And my prayer for you is to live in God's power, because it is for freedom that Christ Jesus has set you free. I love you, and I will see you next week.
The Dustin Daniels Radio Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering counseling advice for your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional. For more information on the radio show, visit DustinDanielsRadio.com.